On the show today, we have Centrelink's very own Neftali Harris talking about why financial institutions, credit unions in this case, should make fraud prevention a top priority in today's uncertain economic landscape, and he shares many reasons why, so check it out. Neftali, how are you, sir? Good to see you again.
I am fantastic, Mike. Thanks for having me on again.
Good, good, good. Always happy to have you. You're one of our favorite cybersecurity experts out there, so we always enjoy having you on because it's always an education and a little bit of fun, too. So
that's
always
the point.
Oh, you'll be fine. You'll be fine. So today's topic is why financial institutions are making fraud prevention a top priority in today's economic landscape, especially with that recession thingy kind of looming on the horizon here, as we all know. So, but I want to start out with, what's the connection between financial institutions, fraud prevention? Oh my gosh, I'm having a hard time getting that out today. And then today's economic landscape. What's the connection here? If you can get the two, connect the dots here, Neftali.
I think the connection is pretty straightforward. With the downturn, there'll be more delinquencies, and with rates going up, you could end up with some lending products that are getting squeezed as well. And so across the board, margins are going to go down, and some products may become, that previously were profitable might become break even or even losers.
Yeah.
There's always these competing tensions at financial institutions for profitability, and, essentially like having solid margins for your products and growth. And right now, I'd say the pendulum is definitely swinging towards the profitability side.
Okay.
And so fraud prevention, which goes directly to the bottom line of a financial institution, I think attitudes may change from, hey, this is just a cost of doing business. I'm trying to, get more customers here, to, hey, this is not a cost of doing business. Yeah. This is, what I actually need to stay in business. And that pendulum is definitely swinging towards the towards margins, profitability, unit economics, and so forth.
So do you think that fraudsters are realizing this as well? Because, I mean, there's some smart people out there on the wrong side of the fence, obviously. So do you think they're aware of this too? And they're kind of making preparations kind of setting up for, a new way to get at people's identities and their money and all that type of stuff?
Well, I think the best thing that happened in the history of fraudsters probably was the unemployment insurance fraud that they committed at the height of the pandemic.
Oh, yeah.
So I do think that, it's interesting. The recent jobs reports, I think, were actually reasonably strong.
Yeah.
But should we enter into a more sustained downturn and people are losing their jobs and there's more unemployment, across the economy, I do think the fraudsters will be focused on committing more of that unemployment insurance fraud. Now, that's mostly against the government, but one thing that I think that did at the height of the pandemic is you got a bunch of fraudsters who made a lot of money. they were able to do that by ripping off the government and all of us taxpayers. But I think by getting a taste of success, and they've become emboldened and will try new and more devious tactics against financial institutions.
Yeah. And can you go into just real briefly here how or what the whole unemployment fraud was as well, what they were doing on that side?
Yeah, at the height of the pandemic, an incredibly popular form of fraud was to steal someone's identity and then claim unemployment insurance benefits in their name. And it's interesting because actually this was primarily an issue that impacted states' governments throughout the country.
Mm-hmm.
But it also actually had some important follow-on implications for financial institutions, because a number of financial institutions that offer checking or savings accounts, including a ton of credit unions, saw a huge amount of unemployment insurance benefits go into checking and savings accounts during the pandemic. And that's basically because the fraudsters were able to successfully open up accounts with them.
Gosh, this... the creativity never ends here. So let's get back to the top priority here. So why are financial institutions, credit unions in this case, making these efforts a top priority? Is it just, again, it's going to be another tidal wave of this happening, or?
I think really the thing is that profitability has become more important. And so making sure that your products are tightened up and that you will be able to successfully weather a recession is, I think, increasingly important. One of the really interesting things about financial products compared to many other ones is that it's challenging to turn the ship, if you will. If you give out an auto loan and You know, someone has a car, and then you decide a few weeks later, oh, maybe I shouldn't have done that. Too bad, you know. And you know, if you decide, hey, actually, you know, my underwriting standards over the last 2 years weren't appropriate, and you know, but now you have these 5-year loans out.
Yeah. Well,
you know, kind of too bad. So I think one of the challenges of lending products and financial products more generally is that you really do need to get this stuff kind of right up front. And you know, I think what that means is that when the economic outlook is more negative in the future, financial institutions need to be making changes to their programs really today to set themselves up for success. You know, in some cases, some of it, it's already too late, but there's still some that they can change.
Yeah. And speaking of auto lending, I just saw a report that auto lending, you know, this setting records, you know, this last quarter. So there's a lot of that going on. So what are financial institutions doing to prevent fraud to protect consumers in today's uncertain economic environment? And while maybe cost cutting at the same time, what are you hearing out there?
I mean, I think that the organizations are just taking a deeper look at their fraud prevention programs and, you know, trying to see if there are existing holes there or ones that they should try to fix.
Yeah.
I do, after all, run a, you know, a company that does fraud prevention. So I would be you know, remiss if I didn't, you know, cite ourselves at Centrelink. But, you know, we are hearing of a lot of organizations that are taking those kinds of steps. One thing I do want to cite here, because it is kind of like a bit of a... an interesting challenge is that one of the issues, I'd say organizational issues with accepting and rolling out fraud prevention software is that or fraud prevention measures more generally, is that the costs and benefits end up in different places in the income statement, if you will. And so, you know, from one perspective, it's purely a cost. It's like you're buying the service or the software and now you have higher costs and like that's bad. You know, it's an expense. And the thing that's kind of interesting about this, though, is that obviously it ends up with better economics for your loans or financial products or what have you. And, you know, I think that one of the things that the best organizations are doing is really making sure that they're actually doing those ROI exercises. You know, one thing that's great about the fraud prevention world is there's a lot of there's not that many, but there are some good companies out there that do fraud prevention, and you know this stuff really works. And so you can get you know 5x ROI or 10x ROI or even better. But I do think it's important for institutions to actually measure that and make sure that they're really getting the returns that they should.
Yeah. And we've talked about this in the past that you know it can take years to build up your reputation, but only a second to ruin it, and especially. In a hacking situation. So yeah, so shoring up, like you said, tightening up everything is definitely in your best interest here. And I definitely want to segue into what Centrelink does here. And I mean, what suggestions do you guys have for financial institutions out there to kind of, like you said, tighten up their ships, so to speak? And because it seems like this could be a really tricky spot here for a lot of folks.
Yeah, well, what I recommend is that organizations start with just assessing their current portfolios or recent portfolios. And that's actually a service we offer is helping them to do that.
Okay.
So, you know, looking at, hey, what loans did you issue in Q2 and how did those look? You know, what does your overall book look like? You know, for some products like credit cards, for example, you can actually take some steps in terms of, you know, preventing credit line increases or restricting accounts or things like that to weather a storm. But I think the first thing is just taking stock of where you are and trying to understand how much of different sorts of fraud you might have in that portfolio. You know, be it identity theft or synthetic fraud or first-party fraud of different sorts. And so, you know, Centrelink can assess this; other companies can as well. But it's an important first step.
Okay, good deal. And I want to look to the future a little bit here, Neftali, and this is kind of a question out of left field, but we're going to be moving into the fall and then the holiday season, and that's a whole other show that we'll definitely do. But what do you see on the horizon here as we move into the latter part of 2022 and then actually going into 2023? What should we be looking out for?
Well, I mean, things always get crazier closer to the holidays. you know, and it's an important time for, you know, for many people. You know, one thing that is sad is that oftentimes the fraud attacks that are targeting consumers directly can go up, where it's not someone who's trying to steal someone's identity to open up a financial product, but things like Zelle scams or romance scams, things like that. That's something that I think all financial institutions and credit unions in particular should make sure that their customers are, in the case of credit unions, their members are aware of and just vigilant about.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah. Yeah. Like I said, we'll definitely have you back on for the holiday stuff and whatever whatever happens in between as well. So, but there's always some stuff here. So, but Naftali, thank you so much as always for coming on and sharing your expertise here. It's always a great, I'm always of the saying that you can never have too much of this information. So, and you guys are certainly filling the bill here. So we appreciate your time. Anything else to add to wrap up, Naftali? Any final thoughts here?
No, Mike, it's a pleasure to be on as always.